Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. It's the Blind Handyman Show.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah. Hello, neighbors. Welcome to show number 175. This is October 17, 2006. Certainly nice to have you with us today. For an hour now, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all, of course, designed with the blind in mind. And our host today and every day, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Shaw.
Hey, Mr. Tom, what in the world's going today, man?
I have no idea. I just showed up today. It's good to be in the studio with you guys.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson is here.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that there's drinking going on the set of the Blind Handyman.
Who would believe such a thing?
You really know how to hurt a guy. My name is Tom Houston, but here he is, folks. Here's the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Here he is, Phil Parr.
I got it got hot in Texas again today, didn't it? Summer has come back with a vengeance today.
It's 90 degrees today.
You think it's 90 outside?
It's supposed to get to 90.
Step out on the grass, and it's like being in a sauna.
It is.
Sun's 90, and the grass is wet.
We did have a good rain yesterday, though, and we needed that. And I know you all folks in China are certainly interested in the weather here in Lufkin.
Yeah.
And our football team is certainly kicking butt.
Boy, I tell you.
They really are.
Lufkin Pen.
What was the scariest guy? It was 49-8, I think, the last week's game.
54-9.
Was it 54-9?
54-9.
I quit listening at halftime. There wasn't any point.
No. You know,
what was the point in
It was an interesting game in one regard. Within the first 2 minutes of the game, there were four fumbles.
There weren't.
We fumbled. The other team got it. No, one play later, they fumbled. We got it. The next play, we fumbled. They got it. Or that process was reversed because we wound up with the ball. But four straight turnovers and no. I mean, it was hilarious.
Yeah, I think they're in town tomorrow night, aren't they? I mean, not tomorrow night. Friday night.
Yeah,
I think
they're home. I've never heard of this team we played.
But it was at
College Park Cavaliers. I didn't even know there was a place called
College Park. I never heard of College Park.
Yeah.
College Park.
But it was played at the Woodlands, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they're in that school district. I think they're in the Conroe school district.
So that Woodlands little stadium down there, whatever. But we're going to state. We'll be in San Antonio. Might as well make reservations because it's going to happen.
I believe they're number three or four in the nation.
I think three in the nation.
In the entire United States.
Mm, they're up there. They're ranked real high in the nation.
That's pretty good for a little town of 40,000 people. Of course, we only have one high school, and like you said, that's why.
That's why we have one high
school. That's why, because if we had two high schools, they'd have to divide those.
Yeah,
those boys.
I know. Coach Outlaw came from Arkansas, so I just wondered if he coached at a place in Arkansas
he won a state championship in Arkansas.
I know he did.
Yes,
I know he did. So he's, now he's won one here in Texas.
And then in the playoffs.
Yeah, out there, a terrible boy out there, lined up here, out there. I got him lined up. All they're doing, they're going to good. Thank you, Coach Outlaw. That's really good. You know?
I don't know.
If we execute the play, we knew everything we're supposed to do, and execute the play, everything could be all right.
If we come out on the winning end, if we have more scores than they do, we'll probably
win. We'll probably win the game. We're going to win the game if we have more scores than they do. If we fumble, I don't care if we fumble. If they execute the play, we're going to win the game.
The key is more points than the other team.
Yeah, and they always say something like, and if we stay within ourselves. Stay whatever.
Keep focused. All that. You know, they always say that. But he's out there, he's he's got it done. I always talk to him at halftime. It's funny. It's funny to listen to the game, but they're good. Dude. The Lufkin Panthers. And, man, Texas Monthly had a little article this week about five towns that become ghost towns when the team plays out of town, and we were one of them.
Yeah.
You know, this town becomes, if this, 40,000 people, 25,000 of them go to the game.
Yeah, restaurants don't like it.
When the games are out of town. Because we support that football team. Of course, they have a lot else to do here, take in a haircut, go down to the in-house and feel the warm eggs. Isn't a lot to do here.
You're using up all your staff.
If you think it's slow here, you ought to try Burke.
Beautiful bedroom community, Burke. That's where Tom lives.
Population 300-something. I'm not
Burke.
Sure exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have list mail today?
I do indeed. Here's a guy that says, hi, all. I'm sorry, but I get frustrated when I read many things posted to this list that are simply a rehash of information available out there that is intended for sighted people. Now, the information posted does not include the techniques and procedures to get the task done as a blind person. Shouldn't a rule of posting to this site require the information posted to include the blindness techniques needed to do the job? Granted, some posts do include blindness techniques, and they are greatly appreciated. I'm here, after all, to learn and share blindness techniques for doing all sorts of jobs as a blind person. It is of great help and encouragement to hear how other blind people are doing these jobs. It is of little or no help to me to hear how to do jobs by using vision. There are plenty of TV shows, books, and the internet to find information for sighted people. There is virtually no other place to get information of how to do things as a blind person. This is, of course, just one person's opinion. I would like to hear what others think. Thanks, Mickey.
I guess the administrator probably yanked his name off of this. Mickey's
You know, I kind of agree with him.
Kind of a good point.
I think his point is well taken, that we need more. All those files are nice.
Yeah.
But, if they're geared towards sight, I want to hear how blind people do it.
Yeah.
That's the best way to get it
which
done.
Which is the reason for the blind handyman.
Which is, if we didn't want to know how blind people did it, there'd be no point in having the blind handyman.
That's
we
true.
Know, you know, I know how a sighted guy measures. He gets his measuring tape and he looks at 18 and 3/8 inches if that's what he wants. But how does a blind guy do that?
Well, you know, in some regard, I agree with that premise or the thesis there, but how does a blind guy do a wall plug any much different than a sighted guy? And if he doesn't know which wires, then he's obviously going to have to ask. There's been no way that I know of that's been detected for a blind guy to tell the black wire from the white wire. Just plain and simple, there's no way. There's no way. So at some point, the twain must meet.
Exactly.
A blind guy, all right, so if I say I'm partially sighted, if I'm going to put in a wall plug, I'm obviously looking at the screw and have the screwdriver in my hand. However, I do a lot of things as blind people, dial, telephone, all that, because it's just the way I do. But pretty much, if I'm screwing the wire onto the nut, I'm going to use a screwdriver and screw the wire. I don't exactly know
same
what
way, like a sighted.
You're going to push the wire in the hole and then tighten the screw down, just like a. And much of the sighted the information that is on the list that applies to sighted people applies to us also.
Oh yeah, much of it crosses.
I would agree. As much as possible. How, you'd want to describe it as a blind, but actually, to me, that's one of the parts of being blind in some regard is you got to figure out how you're going to do it. I mean,
the alternative techniques.
It's like when I talked to the NAB convention about hiring blind people. It's like this Linda girl the other night was on the list. She's looking for a job, and she said, I'm going to ask them, well, how am I supposed to do so-and-so? And I said, Linda, that's the wrong approach. If you don't know how to do it, then they're not going to hire you.
Right.
If they have to tell you how to figure out how to do this, then you don't need, they're not going to hire you for that job. If a blind guy wants a radio job and he can't figure out how to cue records, then you don't need him.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's your job to figure things out as a blind person, how to do things on your own. But I in a way, you've got to agree. I'd like to hear it from a blind person's perspective. Off times. Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, okay. Here's a guy. He wants to know if there's an advantage or disadvantage of having a shingled roof installed in the fall or in the summer.
Huh?
The only thing I've heard about a composition roof in the summer is, the installers having to walk around on the roof doesn't do your new shingles any good if it's really hot. But other than that,
because of them being soft?
Yeah, because of them getting soft in the summer.
Well, you mean the hotter it is, the softer they get?
That's what a roofer told me one time, that just when they're hot, it just doesn't do them any good to walk on them.
I think many of the roofers, and our good bud Dale Campbell could probably attest to this. My roofers came early, and about noontime they were boogieing.
Yeah,
they would start at 5 if I'd let them. And in the one advantage I see to the roof in the summertime is if it wasn't walked on. I mean, like if he's up there about till 12, is the tar on the roof is going to melt. I think the roof is going to kind of adhere to it. I think it's going to be better as it sets up in the summertime as opposed to the winter. But I could see how. But like I say, most I haven't met too many roofers that are going to be on the roof at 2 o'clock in the summertime. Most of them are starting early and out by noon.
Because in Texas, you can't handle it. Couldn't stay up there. You couldn't. Your hands would be burning. You couldn't put your hand on the roof in Texas in the summertime. So I don't know about up north, but up down here. You're right. They start as early as light lets them, and then usually are gone by noon. All right.
Oh, okay. All right. Says, hi, everyone. A little over a year ago, I had my entire house floors tiled. It's certainly not the most fantastic tile. Several have broken in the corners already, but it's better than disgusting pink carpet. The original intention was for a light gray grout so that it would blend with the tiles and not show dirt from a messy husband and the menagerie of animals parading around. However, after a million times of being asked to choose another color, we finally just told the workers to put in white to get the job done. And, of course, it's dirty in high traffic areas, but does come clean just fine with a good scrubbing. My main issue is how incredibly porous this grout is. Dirt goes in, and there's no way to get it out without using forceful water. I have a strong sprayer that gets it up. Also to consider is the fact that the morons who put it in did a really bad job. I'm missing huge chunks of grout in a lot of places. Yeah. My main question is, can we just have this grout cleaned very thoroughly and then put on a thin layer of the correct color that won't show dirt and be less porous? I have no idea if such a thing is possible.
I don't either.
There is quite a dip in the grout lines, enough that a mop is worthless when cleaning. I have to use the sponge. Kind of on its side to get between the tiles. I would think a reasonable layer of new grout would be able to fit in there and make it easier to mop. Would this new grout adhere to the old if I did this?
Makes that old pink carpet look pretty good. Then
I think
if putting on some new grout isn't possible, what's the best method for sealing the existing grout after it's cleaned, most likely from the Stanley steamer crew? I put on the sealer that is sold at Home Depot, but it didn't do anything, and this comes from Sarah. Guys?
Well, okay, there's two things. I believe new grout would adhere. I think changing colors, though, is because she said she has some low spots, but then obviously in some places they had their grout almost right, so whether you'd have room. They do, and I looked into it and bought some grout dye. I did
really?
The same thing. I did mine in white. I used white tile and white grout too, and that was the worst mistake I ever made. The thing with the dye is it's sort of like wood stain. I got a dark gray, but as if you used it, it's not necessarily going to turn the grout as dark as it. As you think it should. I mean, it might take several applications. I did not do this, but I did a test sample. I wound up selling the house. I mean, I got lucky. But actually, there is. It's a dye, or it's not a paint, but paint would get on. And you put this on with a little ball similar, or a brush similar that you do your...
That would roll in the cracks between the tiles.
Like you do your sealer that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then the key is to get it off of the tile, off the tile surface.
That's what I was going to say.
With a damp sponge that you wipe across that does not go down into the, where you've applied it into the grout.
But grout dye.
It's a dye. It's fairly expensive. I believe that I bought a bottle probably enough to do, oh goodness, I don't even know, 1,000 square feet, roughly about what. But I mean, we're talking $35 or $40 for this.
Really?
They're very proud of it. But there is such a thing. You might talk. But your sealer, perhaps you didn't put it heavy enough. If you clean that really good, and of course, there again, you were talking about porous and the uneven condition of your grout may keep it from it. But actually, if you'd put a real good sealer on there, it works as better than nothing. I mean, but it's hard. The white grout is just hard to keep clean.
Grout dye. I never thought of such a thing.
I faced.
So somebody wanted to do it, so they invented this, I suppose. All right, Sarah, we've actually stumbled around and helped someone. And good Lord.
My goodness. Yeah.
We also had a little response to this. A fellow by the name of R.J., or his initials, says, my wife and I laid our child down about 3.5 years ago. We grouted with a light almond color. My wife then put a sealer on the grout with an applicator that looked like a toothbrush. It was well worth the money. I believe once you get the grout cleaned, you could apply the sealer to the grout. We purchased this sealer from a regular tile store. Hmm. And that was that.
Yeah, they make a little bottle. It's a tile. It's a sealer applicator, and it has a ball, like a big, giant ball pen, a ballpoint pen.
Yep.
And you roll this ball along in the grout, and it allows the it's on a little bottle, especially made little
out.
Bottle, and it allows the stuff to come out. And you just go back and forth, and then
grout
take
down.
Your sponge and clean off the top. But you might look into the dye.
So this is obviously partially sighted. Blind people don't give a damn. We don't care if we have dirty grout.
Not unless your mother comes in and nags on you all the time.
Are
you ever going to do anything with this, Bill? Philip?
Yeah. George. No, it's George Philip.
George Philip, that's right.
George, what you call me? George Philip. Watch that fan, George Philip. She said it once, you said it 1,000 times. But poor old George Helen is no longer with us. All right, go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, it says, hi, all. I just spent the last couple of days in my attic reconfiguring most of the PVC pipes that make up my toilet denting system.
Okay.
I've never done any projects with PVC, so everything I did was new to me. You probably remember some of my previous posts asking questions about this topic. The suggestions were very useful and contributed to a successful project. During the job, however, I came up with a couple of things some of you other novices might find useful.
All right.
Now, one of the questions I had was how to get a good perpendicular cut on a PVC pipe.
Well, I can tell you how to do that.
Something this guy came up with worked very well for me, and he thought he'd pass it on to us.
All right.
When cutting the pipe, first position a couple of hose clamps around the pipe on either side of where you want to cut the pipe.
Uh-huh.
Separate them about 1/8 of an inch. Once you have them in place, simply cut down between the two hose clamps with a hacksaw. The cut is perfect every time.
That's the difficult way to do it.
Is it?
Yep. That's what you need to do that with is a PVC pipe cutter that simply clamps on the pipe. You start tightening this thing down, and you circle it around the pipe. Every time you circle it, you tighten it down a little more. And in about 30 seconds, you have a perfect, absolutely beautiful, mm-hmm. perfect, smooth
cut.
That's
true.
If it is small enough PVC pipe, they make a pipe cutter that's almost like a pair of scissors that will cut small PVC pipe. You just put it in there and snap it together, and it'll cut it.
Well, if this is vent pipe, it should be 2 inches. And so I don't know that I've seen
a pipe cutter that big.
I used to have one for galvanized pipe. I mean, I had a humongous one.
Pipe
that
cutter.
That would have worked.
On PVC pipe?
Yeah.
Sure.
But now, well, what they look like is a giant C-clamp with a blade on one side and some rollers on the other where the clamp would be, and the crank-type handle or a handle with a cross piece in it.
And you just tighten it down a little bit. But a two-inch pipe, I don't know that...
That should be standard vent pipe.
I don't know if mine's that big. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, he says another thing he found was a way to remove the old fittings from a PVC pipe without losing any of the pipe length.
Yeah.
This was important because in some cases I needed to reuse an existing pipe, but needed different fittings on the end. Now, to do this, I simply use a hacksaw to cut right through the fitting itself without cutting any of the pipe.
Yeah.
I then took the pipe to my workshop and clamped the remaining piece of the fitting into a vise. By slowly cranking down on the vise, I was able to crack and remove the remainder of the fitting without doing damage to the PVC.
Yeah.
In some cases, there were some tiny pieces of fittings that would break free, but these were easily removed with a file. Resurrecting pipes this way saved me a great deal of money. I also purchased something called slow-set PVC cement for the project.
I was fixing to ask if he glued this because there was no point in gluing it. What was the point in gluing it? There's no pressure on it.
I don't know.
I wouldn't have glued it, would you?
You know, a vent pipe.
I wouldn't have glued it.
It was a vent pipe?
No.
I wouldn't worry about it.
There's no pressure on it. There's no point in gluing it.
Well, he says this cement works well anyway.
Yeah.
And gives you quite a bit more time to position your pieces before the cement set. Finally, he said he found that a pair of latex gloves works extremely well when working with the cement. So if you're doing this and you need to use, if you need to glue it, these latex gloves may help out here. They allow for great sensitivity, keep your fingers from getting cemented to the parts or themselves. I brought a large bag of them at Harbor Freight for next to nothing, so I didn't mind changing to a new pair whenever the ones I was using got caked with cement. Well, you old-time veterans are probably sitting there laughing at this novice, but hey, I just finished my first extensive project with PVC in a very cramped space, and it came out great.
I'm proud of that, son. I don't care if you glued it or not. I'm proud of you.
So, Ed, that was wonderful.
Ed, if you got up there and did it, I'm proud of you. But gluing PVC pipe is a two-step job, isn't it? I mean, you clean it first with that stuff that comes in the little round can and the little brush, and then you use the cement, right?
Yeah, and I'm kind of just, I use the quick set. I mean, it gets in a hurry. I've got to take it.
If I had those latex
gloves on, I'd probably have glued myself.
Yeah, you glue your gloves to the...
I would probably have glued myself.
I was going to say the same
thing. Yeah, when
thing.
I did my sprinkler system, there really wasn't a lot to line up. That, in other words, I know why you would want to use the slow set is like if you had an elbow and it had to point in a certain direction. In my sprinkler system, I could eyeball it pretty well, and like I say, I used it. Boy, I wanted it. As soon as I put it on there, I wanted to be done with it.
Yeah, and you will be with the quick set.
You clean it, and then you just daub that other stuff and stick them together, and buddy, they're there.
You get about one twist. You can get about one.
Is that about it?
And you're done.
Yeah, because I think it actually melts the plastic together or something.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it's easy to get it. But that vent pipe, I wouldn't have glued it. I wouldn't worry about it.
I did learn. I had never tried to take the fitting off of I was trying to think of the countless fittings I've wasted by gluing them something backwards and then instead of salvage them. That's a pretty neat. I'll have to try that.
All right, should we take a break and go to the guest? Today is...
William Miller.
William Miller. Bill Miller. We've had him on before, and I don't remember what, but I do kind of remember the
builds
name.
He builds things.
But we'll have him on in just a minute. And Don Patterson, Don Shaw, Tom Houston, I'm Phil Parr, back with more of our little show called The Blind Handyman. Hang on.
Campbell and Cheryl Cummings for a special recording of Cooking in the Dark during this year's Blind Handyman and Cooking Weekend 2 gathering, November 3rd through the 6th at the Intercontinental Sheraton, 15700 John F. Kennedy Boulevard. Registration is only $25 per person, and special roommates are available under the name Blind Handyman Gathering. Don't miss out on the excitement of the Blind Handyman and Cooking Weekend 2 gathering. Contact Phil Parr at 936-634-9500 for all the details. Join us for the Blind Handyman and Cooking Weekend 2 gathering, November 3rd through the 6th at the Sheraton Hotel, 15700 John F. Kennedy Boulevard. Look for seminars, singing, dancing, recordings of the Blind Handyman, Cooking in the Dark, and Blind Like Me programs, as well as a chance to just get away, relax, and enjoy yourself. Special room rates under the name Blind Handyman Gathering are available at the Sheraton. Make plans to join your friends again for the Blind Handyman and Cooking Weekend 2 gathering. Call 281-442-5100.
Thank you.
Well, Houston, we appreciate the effort. It's good to have you. Have you doing that. Bill Miller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Staying busy.
We thought we'd lost you there for a minute, but sure enough, you're there, aren't you, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I kind of remember you, but I don't remember. Where are you from?
Ohio.
You live in Ohio.
Yeah, Toronto, Ohio.
What's the name? Toronto?
Yeah.
Toronto, Ohio. Maybe I don't remember you. You've been on the show before, though, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
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 And what kind of stuff you do? Woodwork, or what do you do?
Yeah, I make a lot of clocks, mantel clocks, chiming clocks. Now I'm getting into making little rocking stool or rocking stools.
Yes, sir.
You know, benches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing a lot of football helmets with clock inserts in them. You know, painting them like the college team colors and stuff.
A football helmet with a clock insert.
Yeah.
Boy.
Sets up on the mantle or something, right?
Yeah, you can hang it on the wall.
I need a Texas A&M one. I need a couple of Texas A&M ones. You got one? Maroon and white.
I'll remember that.
All right.
I'm sending one of them out to Columbus, out there to Pilot Dog. The one trainer, he likes Buckeyes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send him a Michigan one.
Hey, that is a good idea, man.
Just upset him.
there you go.
A mantle clock with, a football helmet with a mantle clock in it.
No, just a little clock insert.
Yeah. But does the clock actually work or not?
Yeah.
The clock works and keeps time.
Yeah.
And this just hangs up on the wall.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty good idea. Whose idea? Who thought of that?
Oh, I've been doing that for a while, but a lot of people have been ordering them, you know, recently.
Yeah.
And I just had a big order come in today for six birdhouse clocks.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're little mantle clocks, you know.
That you...
takes a clock insert.
That you'd set on the mantle and that they're shaped like a birdhouse.
Right, right.
That's pretty good. And where do you sell these? Just out of your house, or you go to county fairs and stuff?
Yeah,
or?
No, just word of mouth. And I'm getting ready to put an ad on Ziegler.
In the Ziegler magazine.
Yeah.
He'd probably be happy to do that for you. Seemed like I saw an ad of yours in one of the magazines one time. Was it Dialogue or Ziegler or some?
Ziegler. Yeah, I put an ad in there a couple years ago.
That Ziegler magazine. Did you get any business from it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I ship stuff to Alaska and China.
Yeah.
Blind mice, Mark Dunn.
There you go.
I mean, not count.
Yeah. I've already talked to him. He's been wanting to, you know, put stuff in his store.
Well, yeah. He'd probably sell some for you. He's a hustler. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and my stuff's going into the VFWs, too.
All right.
I just sent a friend of mine a clock. They're selling tips on it. And, you know, he said if this goes good, they'll probably order some more from me.
Now, what they're going to do it as a raffle or what?
Right, right.
Have it as a raffle. Well, tell us about these rocking stools that you started making.
Yeah, they're benches.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more or less for looks, but if you put them together with the screws, you know, they can actually be used by a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're just something for looks. And I put a lot of people use them to put like their dolls on to sit on them. You know, but yeah, I just got into making them probably about a month ago.
So they're more decorative than anything else.
Yeah, if I just use brad nails, you know, to hold it together.
Yeah, or you don't use any glue.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't trust someone sitting on it. You know, the only way I'd do that if I use screws to put everything together with.
When I was a child, and that's been many moons ago, my sister and I both were given a little square little stool. I think every kid that ever grew up in any reasonable, normal family had his own little stool. And I kept those around forever. I mean, I stumbled over them for 50 years, you know, and I finally, somehow, in the last move or something, they went
away.
Came up but missing. But, I mean, you know, that's something that little kids really get attached to, like a little, their own little stool, you know.
Yeah, I just made my little cousin a step stool.
Right. Are we talking kids about 2 years old would kind of be one to two, or two, three that would fit on yours, probably?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have, since I can't, I've gotten so old I can't get down on the floor anymore, I've got about three little sturdy little stools that I can sit on that are about 9 inches high and that'll actually, that you can actually sit down on. Like if I want to get the discs on the low shelf, I can't bend over and do that anymore. So I've got these little solid wood stools that you sit on. You don't make that kind of stuff. Your stuff is mostly decorative though, right?
Oh, no. No, I've made just a regular stool for my cousin.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably about maybe a foot and a half, 2 foot tall.
That's actually a step stool.
Well, not that one. It was just a stool to sit on.
Yeah. So what sort of tools do you have? What kind of equipment do you have in your workshop?
I think since the last time I talked to you, I had a single drum sander, and I got rid of that, and I bought a dual drum sander, a Grizzly. I got a couple compound saws now. I got a couple table saws. Got joiners, planers, routers,
band
saws.
A joiner. I've never even seen a joiner.
And so, Bill, do you have any vision? I think
None.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I had to go for safety training in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Had to go for safety training to get the commission to help you or something?
Right. Had to get training on all the tools.
To help spring out for the equipment.
Well, what a deal. Y'all must have a very progressive commission for the blind. Our guy would probably run and hide if you told
him. Oh, you know what?
Probably.
My state counselor is legally blind.
Yeah.
That helps.
And he was into woodworking.
That helps a lot then.
He knew it can be done.
Yeah, he's aware that it can be done.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah,
big help.
Yeah, he was a great guy. He retired.
That helps a lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yes, Ohio's pretty good.
You're fortunate to have help getting that equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ohio must be a pretty progressive commission for the blind, because like Pat said, our guys would never. I couldn't imagine. In fact, we'll have one of them in Houston the other. We'll ask him.
That's a thought.
Little Houston gathering. If you'd ask him to buy. If people ask you all the time, you know, if you got woodwork tools, he would, how you keep from cutting your fingers off? Well, how the hell do you think I keep them? You know.
Yeah.
I still have all mine.
I play guitar, so I want to keep all mine, you know?
Yeah.
Not that makes any difference, but and, you know, that's just kind of a silly question. How do sighted people keep from cutting? I told you about my Scott's father-in-law has been doing this for years, and the other day just cut the end of his finger off.
Yeah, I was just gonna say sighted folks have done that.
It happens to sighted folks all the time.
Oh, it can happen.
Did you hear?
I made something else new. I don't know. I was making this when I was talking to you the last time, but they're little mailboxes, wooden mailboxes, sit up on a pedestal. They're only like 4 inches tall, and there's a hole drilled in the side of the mailbox with a wooden flag. It comes down to cover the inch and a quarter hole up, and there's a little slot cut in the front. It's where rolls of postage stamps.
Yeah, that's neat. I have a metal one, a little metal mailbox that has the little flag, and you pull, but the wooden one would be really neat.
Be neat.
Yeah, you know what? I went to a convention up in Pittsburgh, American Council Convention last year.
Uh-huh.
I painted a bunch of them black and gold. Sold a ton of them.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Hey. Did you sell a few of them?
Oh, yeah. I had some black and gold mailboxes and black and gold outside hanging birdhouses.
Uh-huh.
Interested you should mention that. Do you know all three of their major teams in Pittsburgh, in Pennsylvania, that's their colors? University of Pittsburgh, the Steelers, and the baseball team, the Pirates.
Yeah, Pirates.
Yeah, and their hockey team. I mean, I think one of their hockey teams has gold and black. So what a deal.
So all three of them, all three teams have the same colors?
Same colors, yeah.
That's kind of unusual.
Yes, it is.
So, and these blind folks bought this stuff. Where do you get ideas? Do you go to Walmart and look at things? And
no, I just sit down and figure stuff out, like these birdhouse clocks. You know, I got tired of making the little mantle clocks.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'll just start making them look like a birdhouse.
And so you put you buy the clockworks, and then you build the case to go around it.
Oh, yeah.
So nobody gave you the idea. You just think of it yourself.
Yeah.
That's pretty sharp.
And what kind of wood do you use in the project?
A lot of red oak and poplar.
So
I have some cherry, and I have, it's hard to get walnut. That's the main wood I use, is red oak and poplar.
So you use real wood as opposed to us building stuff out of pine down here.
Right. I don't even mess with pine.
Everything I've ever built is built out of pine.
I build all my stuff out of red oak and poplar. Poplar can be stained or painted, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have any access to cedar? Have you ever done anything with...
Yeah. I made a... There was a lady from California called me about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and she wanted to know if I can make her a duck sewing box.
A what?
A duck sewing box. It's about a little bit bigger than a cigar box with a drawer in it, and the four corners on top has a dowel rod sticking out to hold spools of thread.
Okay.
Then I cut out a duck and put on top of the box and put a felt for the wings.
For needles and pins?
Yep, for straight pins.
I got you.
Down through the duck didn't have a bill on it. There's a hole drilled down through the back of the head. It's for a pair of sewing scissors to stick down through the head, the point of the scissors or the duck's bill.
They come the duck's bill. How did
has she seen one like that, or where do you... Where
yeah,
do you...
she said that her grandmother had one, and I've seen one before when I had sight.
Yeah.
They're antiques when you do find them. And I asked her, you know, I said, if you want it to look like an antique and smell good, you know, make it out of cedar.
Yeah.
So I did.
I still have my mother's sewing box that was looks like almost like a little picnic basket, except it set up on four legs. But it had the little handles that folded in the middle, and when you opened it, it had all the felt for pins and places for buttons and places for spools of thread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then last winter, I made an urn.
That's kind of different.
Yeah.
Was it for a pet or a...
You know, it was for a pet.
You made a what, an urn?
Urn, yeah, for ashes.
Oh, okay. Out of wood?
Yeah. I made it out of red oak. Yeah, I put brass hinges on it and a brass latch on the front.
Huh. That's kind of
you kind of a custom make, then kind of whatever anybody wants, huh?
Yeah, if it can be done, I'll try it.
What did you do when you could see? What was your occupation? I think I've asked this before.
A carpenter.
Oh, you were a carpenter, so
yeah.
So
yeah,
you're
so
not.
I was familiar with the tools anyway, and you know, I did a couple bridges and high rise construction. And
how old were you when you lost your sight to any reasonable degree?
I lost a sight in my right eye when I was 15 months old with a paring knife.
Goodness. Mm.
And I lost a sight in my left eye July 6th of 96 cutting grass.
Cutting grass?
Man, cutting grass.
What a freak accident, I guess.
Yep.
Something flew back and hit you in the eye, didn't it?
Something flew up and hit you in the eye.
No, it hit me up above my eyebrow. It's a piece of wire. Because I have glasses. I wore my glasses.
Yeah.
But it hit me up above the eyebrow, and when it hit the bone, it bent and shot down in the back of my eye, and I didn't know it.
Oh, my Lord, what a tale.
Goodness.
What a story. But you lost, you've never had full sight. You lost your right eye, you said, I think, with a paring knife at a very young age.
Yeah, 15 months old.
So could you see perfectly out of your other eye before you lost it?
Yep. I was 34 when I lost sight in my left eye.
So you can make it good with one eye. So good eye.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It'd be nice to have one
no
good
kidding.
Eye. I'm gonna close another eye. Don't be stuck up by it down between your knees.
Yeah. Even the doctor said if I would have had safety glasses on, it still wouldn't have went up high enough to do any good.
The wire still would have got you.
Right. I would have had to have a pair of the one piece goggles on.
Yeah. A helmet or something.
And that's a freak accident. I mean, there's nobody to sue. There's nothing you can do. You just, you know, take your lumps and go on. It's about, you know, about it, right?
Yep.
Was it instantaneous when you lost your sight or when they removed the wire? I mean,
no, it was, I bled for probably about a half hour, and I got the bleeding to quit. Then later on that night, I had a real bad headache.
I bet.
Then the next day I went to my brother's house and jumped in his pool. And went back home, and I just felt my sight starting to go real slow.
Hmm.
You know, it just, like, faded out.
Yeah.
Man.
Is that right? And you married? You got a wife?
Fiancé.
Do what?
Fiancé.
And you built high-rises before this happened?
Yeah. Yeah, I've worked in a lot of work in Virginia, down around D.C.
I'll be darned. What an accident. What a wild...
Yeah, just, man, that's just one of those things that you just would never think about happening.
Well, it's just freaky that, you know, that you'd lose one eye in an accident and then lose another one when you got older and, you know, in another accident. But you don't sound bitter. You sound like you're living your life and having a pretty good time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's stuff I do in my garage.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to come up with new things.
Yeah, and make a little extra money doing this.
Yeah. Of course, I still have a website.
Do you now?
Yeah.
Well, what is your website?
www.blindwoodcraftsman.com.
Blindwoodcraftsman.com.
Well, there's a T-shirt there somewhere.
Yeah. I'd say there is. Get Dale to make you some, maybe trade you some T-shirts for some clocks of some kind.
Yeah.
So, but and there's pictures of your stuff there. Have you got that done?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all on there. Some of the stuff I've come up with recently is not on there.
Yeah.
So do you maintain your own website, Bill? Are you pretty computer literate, too? Because that'd be good.
No.
Okay. So somebody else does.
Somebody else does that computer. You know how to check. You do email, that kind of stuff, though, right?
Yeah. No? You know what? I don't. My daughter's been on the computer. She's in college now. And
yeah.
I just really don't mess with it.
So she's helped you with that?
Yeah. She'll check it for me. And,
all right. And what is it again? It's one more time.
www.blindwoodcraftsman.com.
Blindwoodcraftsman.com.net.
.com.
Blindwoodcraftsman.com. All right. Everybody go up and look at the stuff. Bill Miller, William Miller Bills. All right, sir. We'll watch for you, Adam Ziegler, and you get a hold of Dale Campbell, and I bet he'll do something for you. And,
yeah, I've talked to him.
Dale's always looking for new items to sell, and he sells a bunch of stuff. All right, sir, we'll carry on, and we appreciate you.
All right.
All right, Bill.
All right.
We'll visit with you a little bit later. Sounds like an enterprising guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Keeping up with what he's doing. Let's, Pat, you said you had something you wanted to talk about?
Yeah.
Why don't we take a break and do that?
Okay.
What would you think about that? Back in just a minute with more of the Blind Handyman.
Campbell and Cheryl Cummings for a special recording of Cooking in the Dark during this year's Blind Handyman and Cooking Weekend 2 gathering, November 3rd through the 6th at the Intercontinental Sheraton, 15700 John F. Kennedy Boulevard. Registration is only $25 per person, and special roommates are available under the name Blind Handyman Gathering. Don't miss out on the excitement of the Blind Handyman and Cooking Weekend 2 gathering. Contact Phil Parr at 936-634-9500 for all the details. Join us for the Blind Handyman and Cooking Weekend 2 gathering, November 3rd through the 6th at the Sheraton Hotel, 15700 John F. Kennedy Boulevard. Look for seminars, singing, dancing, recordings of the Blind Handyman, Cooking in the Dark, and Blind Like Me programs, as well as a chance to just get away, relax, and enjoy yourself. Special room rates under the name Blind Handyman Gathering are available at the Sheraton. Make plans to join your friends again for the Blind Handyman and Cooking Weekend 2 gathering. Call 281-442-5100.
I'd let my wife go look at the guy's website, but it would probably be expensive, don't you think?
I wouldn't mention it.
I think she'd probably... She probably likes to see a lot of that stuff. So that, there you go.
Yeah, well, you know what? We need to send him the colors and get some of our special friends here, some Lufkin Panther High School. Little helmet clocks. Helmet.
That'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it?
We could probably sell those at the... I guess we could sit outside the gates at the games.
Yeah, it'd be something really different.
Well, my brother-in-law, you know, he's pretty involved. He'd probably let us let us do that. He's involved in Lufkin Sports. Anyway, what's going on?
Well, not a whole lot. I encountered something. You know, was telling Don yesterday, I called him on the phone. I told him it's Sunday evening, and it wasn't too long ago that Emily and I had just the internet went down. We have DSL, and this was their problem. I mean, and it, you know, 3 days later, I'm still finally, you know, and you, yeah. You call their customer support, and they always start with your computer. And no matter how many times you interrupt them and say, sir, I know it's not my computer because... They want you to go step one, make sure it's plugged in. Step, you know, you waste, and then they
want you to start making changes in your settings.
Go reset the modem, and I say, sir, the DSL light is not on, which means I don't have any signal coming in. You know,
right.
But anyway, so and the question that came out of that is, what did we do before the internet? Because Emily and I, we sit there and we look at each other. Well, I wish we could, I could go read my email. Or,
I can't check
the bank payment, or I pay most of my bills online, and you don't want to have late charges because you couldn't get on. But anyway, so Sunday evening, I go to her computer, no internet, and I see the little red check mark on the little icon down there that says that not getting any signal.
No DSL.
And I click the mouse across it, and a little sign come up that says, a wire is disconnected. And I'm going, that is so... So I start behind her computer, check the wire in the wall, it's fine. I wired the house for this purpose. I go up, check all of the wires on the modem, all the wires from the router. I go back down, and for some reason I hadn't at that point decided to do this. But anyway, I checked my computer, and I had... service. So obviously that eliminates one thing. Well, a week or so ago, I had worker men in the house. They ran a new air conditioning duct.
Okay.
Somehow in the melee, though it was still plugged in, one of my wires was broken. I guess at the connection. So because I've deduced that by swapping wires I knew my computer had service, so I swapped its wire over to hers, and then instantly she had service, and so I replaced the wire. But of course, that wasn't my question about my topic about computers. Yeah. It was, what did we do without the internet?
I have no idea. Ours was down for Friday. When it went down Friday evening, it was down until Tuesday morning. It was like the dog died or something.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just
sad. Sadness abounds throughout the household.
Luann could not, of course, Luann could not play poker, so that's her big deal now.
And you have more time to fight.
Yeah, you do.
Each other.
I don't know what we did.
Anyway, and I have just, believe it or not, the expression's been around forever, Google it. I have just become a Google fan. I always searched with the MSN or whatever was handy.
Google's
I just go
great.
To the search.
Google.
I have become a real Google addict. And so, also, well, here not too long ago, Emily couldn't get the garage door open. My topic. She couldn't get the garage door open when she came home. And so we had another garage door opener. I had two for each garage door.
Uh-huh.
And I've since acquired two other garages. So I have six garage door openers. Anyway, so I swapped. I said, well, the battery's probably dead. And I mean, so even a year ago this happened. So I just threw the one that didn't work in the drawer. And one time I called all of Radio Shack, everybody. Nobody carried this little battery is half the size of a AAA, smaller in diameter, and it's about an inch and a quarter. If it's an inch and a half long, I don't think so. And so I called the garage door opener lady, and I said, do you have the battery? Where do I get the battery? Oh, I have some. Well, how much are they? They're $10 a piece. Well, you know, that just infuriated me. I got one, but I actually think I just bought her lunch. You know, I mean, I think she just sitting there, she had one, and I didn't, and she gouged me. Well, so now I had another garage door opener crater out. And so I'm sitting there, and I said, Google it. I go in there. The battery is called a 23A. And there's a company on there that will sell me a pack of five, free shipping, for $5.95.
Oh,
total cost of the battery is
$1.19.
And they're not even going to charge me for shipping.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, and I was thinking, boy, point, you know, to the nerve of this person to charge me $10, and I'd purchase three garage doors from them. Trust me, there won't be a fourth. If I build a fourth garage, I will not deal with these people.
Well, she had it and you didn't.
She had it and I didn't, and I needed it.
And you needed it. And so that's the law of supply and demand, you know?
But, I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, anything you want.
Yeah.
Like my little saw guy that we always talk about that I'm bringing to the thing in Houston. I'm going to have it out there where people can see it. Just type in AccuRip saw guy. It's going to come up with a Craftsman thing, and there you'll see it online. You can just anything. Emily bought a new car. It's a used car, but it is new to her. It is a Range Rover Discovery. Trust me, I'll sell my interest in it cheap, but she loves it. She loves it. And it gets all of, I think the guy lied. He said it got 14 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
Downhill, yeah. Maybe.
Eight. Seven tops.
I think people in the next gasoline crisis, if we're out in this thing, people will be shooting at us.
Firing guns at you.
But anyway, so Emily said, well, I sure wish I could find some accessory. I want to find, anyway, so I typed in, went to yahoogroups.com and put Range Rover Discovery. And there are a couple of groups in there with 2,000 members that are totally devoted to the discussion of Range Rover Discoveries. They quit making them in 2000.
Yeah.
And so I've become a fan, I mean, because she enjoys. I'm going to buy her a light kit, some fog lights. And like yesterday in the rain, I tried to get her to take it. I said, take it. You know, you might encounter it's four-wheel drive. I mean, it is an awesome ride. But anyway, she left it at home and took our little trusty little Honda. But
I would have taken it in the rain yesterday.
Yeah. And well, she went west. She went over to Palestine, and it was raining really hard. But the little Honda just sailed. But the Internet, that was my thing. The batteries, and what I was going to say for the guys, because, you know, we said, do blind guys have garage door openers? You know, the average idiot sighted person might go, what would a blind guy want with a garage? What does he need a garage for? But we've always taken this show from the perspective that blind people are just like everybody else.
How do you buy a house without a garage?
I was just making out like, you know, some East Texas hillbilly, I mean, that we run into. You know, it's like plumbing. You mean blind people have plumbing problems too?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's Bob's Batteries. Bob'sBatteries.com. I put it in my favorites, and I have a notion this guy sells many kinds of batteries.
Batteries.com, and there's a jillion places.
Yeah,
the Internet's great. I mean, to have choices that we've just never had before.
Well, like my cordless mic. I went to the local sound place here, and the guy wasn't real friendly and didn't offer me a discount, and it's a guy I know real well, and Luann grew up with him, and he never, you know, it was his mic was $370, and I went home and bought it for $200 on the Internet. Same microphone.
Tells a story, doesn't it?
Yeah. And they're shipping it to me. It may be here today from American Music. And I, you know, mentioned that on the thing, and Max said he orders stuff from American Music all the time.
I've encountered them. They have a nice website, and I think they're real reliable. A lot of the online things I think are pretty reliable. Then you just save the tax problem, and a lot of stuff, if it's over a couple $100, usually qualifies for free shipping.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a great internet shopper.
Well, and we did some kind of deal with Amazon the other day where they said, you know, if you'll pay so-and-so the amount of dollars, say $75, we'll give you free shipping on everything you buy for the next year. So she went back. Amazon keeps your history of what you buy. She went back and looked at the amount of shipping she had paid on Amazon, and sure enough, it was $87.50 or something. So we bought the $75 deal and got free shipping from Amazon on anything we buy for a year.
That's cool.
Buy it, it'll definitely pay for itself.
Yeah, sure it will.
Oh, it's great. It's just, I love it. It's just super.
Even for blind people.
The opportunity.
Even for blind people with garage doors. I can't imagine why they would want one.
Choices. It's great to have choices.
So you've ordered the batteries, folks. If you live in our area and you have a garage door and have your batteries go out, you'll know that Don has a five-pack.
A five-pack. Well, I have three garage, so if I reload, I have six garage door openers. Actually, I need to order two packages just in case. I don't know how long batteries last,
Can't you program those garage door openers where one will open all of them?
No, I had. We had, in other words, when she had both cars for the one at the house, we had one in each car for her garage. And then mine, you know, there was no vehicle involved. So, I mean, my tractor and everything. So I just kept one out.
Oh, you got that hunting truck there.
Countertop and one in the drawer.
Don't you?
And
you still have the hunting
truck is still there,
And it parked there in your gun.
It's kind of there,
Third garage there that you built a hunting truck. You don't go hunting, do you?
No, I don't.
No.
I am a member of the Blind Rifle Association.
I am too.
Yeah. That scares a lot of people. I wore that to the doctor's office one day. And I mean, I was getting these stares. I mean, these people were going, is that for real? Is that some kind of joke? Is he really blind? Oh, and then they'd see the glasses. Does he really? Is there really a blind?
In fact, if you don't have a Blind Rifleman's T-shirt, you need to get one. We're having a party Friday night the 3rd in Houston, Texas at the Sheridan Hotel.
Don't question here, but
what?
If you have a battery and you order several batteries, let's say you ordered a dozen.
Yeah.
What's the shelf life of a battery? I mean, does it last on and on and on and on and on if you don't use it?
No. No. There is a shelf. Batteries have a shelf life. I don't know what it is, but they do.
That would be a question that our friend Max Robinson could probably answer at the upcoming
gathering.
What kind of a...
No, batteries, you can't just keep them forever.
Shelf life and half life and half all that kind of stuff, yeah. I have, you know, they sell them in packs and they last a pretty good while, but I don't know. I guess over the years, probably Zippo Nada.
You would think so. I don't know.
All right, I guess we'll leave it at that.
Bob'sBatteries.com.
Bob'sBatteries.com. Tell them Don sent you.
Maybe I could call Bob.
Or James sent you.
Tell them Don.
Got a cat named Bob, by the way.
Thank you so much for being here with us today, friends. And it's Don Shaw, Don Patterson, and your friend Tom Houston. Maybe it won't be raining next week. We can do this again.
One more time.
One more time. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.